Welcome to a meeting of the Triumph Gulf Coast Board of Directors. We thank again our friends from the Bay County Commission for allowing us to use their chamber. It seems like we prevail on them a lot. That's because at our special meeting that we held just recently for purposes of getting a quorum, we needed to hold the meeting here, but we don't mean to become squatters here. We'll be in one of the other counties that we serve at our next meeting, but we want to thank the Bay County Commission for their hospitality. And Ms. Skelton, would you please call the roll?
Vice Chairman Bentz?
Here.
Dr. Dana?
Here.
Chair Gates?
Here.
Mr. Lee?
Here.
Mr. Remington?
Here.
I'm sorry. I was right down the wrong. Mr. Riggs.
Board?
I'm
sorry. No. On the board.
Sorry about that. Mr. Riggs. I'm sorry.
Here.
And Mr. Shove.
Here.
Mr. Shoaff is joining us by phone this morning, and so those of you who wish to speak before the board, if you hear a disemboweled voice, or disembodied, not disemboweled, but disembodied, you can tell that
it'll be a long meeting.
Now, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Speaker, you can tell that I'm thinking about the colonoscopy I've got to have later in the week. It is Mr. Shoaff who is disembodied, but with us nonetheless. Let's begin with the review and approval of the minutes of the January 14th meeting. Those minutes have been supplied to you. They've been on the internet. Are there additions or corrections? Is there any objection? Show them adopted. And let's look then at the February 8th special meeting minutes. Are there any additions or corrections or comments about those minutes? Are there objections in any way by any member? If not, show it adopted. And now, Mr. Riggs, if we go to the Treasurer's Report and ask you to begin with the January financial statement, please.
Great. Thank you very much. On page one, we have a statement of financial position, or commonly referred to as a balance sheet. It's a balance sheet that looks just like every other month's balance sheet that we've had. We have around $300 million in investments with Florida Prime. Our only payable is the amount that we earn in interest payable to the DEO. So we have no other significant assets or liabilities. On page two is our statement of activity, or a profit and loss statement. And again, the activity in this month is in accordance with budget and comparable to previous months. And just for the board's, knowledge, if Tip Tomorrow also provides some additional schedules. So if you were to go to pages 6 and 7, this is the schedule of by county, schedule of committed funds. And when something shows up here, that means that we have signed a term sheet. So if we have negotiations with people about a project and we have not come to a term sheet, it would not show up here. But this is once we actually come to a term sheet and commit those funds, so you can see kind of by county what we're doing there. So with that, Mr. Chairman, that is my summary of our financial statements.
Are there questions for the treasurer or for our accountants from Tipton Marler? Any questions or comments? Mr. Shoaff, I know you've had a chance to look at these documents as well, so since I can't see you, please pipe up so that I can hear you if you have any questions or comments.
No questions. Thank you.
If not, Mr. Riggs, I assume you wish to offer a motion to approve the financials.
Yes, please.
Mr. Riggs moves to approve the January 29th financial statement. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Lee. Is there a debate? Is there discussion? Is there objection? Seeing no objection, show it adopted. And now, Mr. Riggs, if you would go to the next item, the proposed operating budget.
Yes, in your packet, on the right-hand side, you will see our proposed amended Triumph Gulf Coast operating budget. And in there, I'm going to go over just a couple different things, but our operating budget that we approved for 2019, I have a proposed amended budget for 2019. And the most significant items are we had to go up in our accounting and auditing. This is associated with, as we approve additional projects, the time that is incurred by our accounting firm to keep track of those projects. In addition, we have to have an external audit. And as we have additional projects move forward and expenditures associated with those projects, it takes additional time for them to test those projects. And that is done by Warren Averett. They've done a great job. They also help keep us out of trouble with the AG by making sure our financial statements are correct and accurate. The only other item that increased significantly is we had special legal services, which is based on our new agreement for those services that we've discussed at a previous meeting. Everything else is relatively static. So with that, unless there are any other questions, I'll take questions first before a motion.
Other questions for Mr. Riggs? I have one, and that is for you as well as for Ms. Skelton. Obviously, we operate under a statutory cap, a very low and I think appropriate conservative statutory cap for our overhead expenses. And by my reckoning, we are still well under that cap with the budget amendments that you've suggested. Are you satisfied that that we're living within not only our statutory cap but good management, Mr. Riggs?
Yes, absolutely. All of our expenditures, we call and get multiple bids for those expenditures, so we could try to get the lowest price within reason. And again, this gives us a good accurate measure of what we expect to happen, so it helps us monitor throughout the year to ensure that no expenditures are exceeding budget. And if they were to do that, then we would investigate that and try to track down the reasons why. But I think this is sound financial management, and I know myself and staff have worked hard trying to get the biggest bang for our buck.
Ms. Skelton, do you have any comment on the budget amendments?
No, sir. We're well within not only the budget, the percentage, but we're also within the 130,000 cap for all contracts. So we're very clearly where we need to be as far as being underneath the budget restrictions.
Any questions? Any comments? Not a motion would be in order to approve the adjusted budget.
So moved.
Vince moves.
Second.
Moved by Speaker Vince, seconded by Mr. Riggs. Is there debate, discussion, objection? Any member object? Showed adopted. And Mr. Riggs, would you go on to the Tipton-Marler engagement, please?
Yeah, this is something we do typically annually. So this is our contract with Tipton-Marler, who does all of our, keeps all of our accounting, does all our payroll, again, keeps our financial statements. They are also actively involved on every project when we go to term sheets, ensuring that from an accounting perspective, we're in line there. So they do a lot of work outside of your normal typical you know cutting checks and recording expenses. So again, I review this. They list all their services there. They've done an exceptional job for us, and I couldn't be happier with the services they have provided. So unless there's any other questions,
are there questions as to the re-engagement of Tipton-Marler, Ms. Skelton?
Mr. Chairman, not a question, just a comment that they have worked in incredibly difficult situation ever since the hurricane as well. Their offices were destroyed, and they have been working out of their offices on the beach, and we're happy to say that they're finally going to get back to their town office on Friday of this week. So we have had a super working relationship with this company, and we're very pleased with the work that they've done.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir, Mr. Speaker.
This firm does all of my auditing and accounting work personally, and I think I will abstain from the vote. But they're, I pay way too much in taxes, but they're good.
Hey, well, I can get you another accounting firm if you want to vote on this.
So noted, Speaker Benz. Are there any other comments or questions?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I would, too, also have a relationship with Tipton Marlin. Would like to abstain from this vote as well.
So noted. And if you would please make sure that that you consult with counsel, both you and Speaker Benz, just to make sure that our minutes properly reflect how you'd like your conflict described. Anything else? If not, Mr. Riggs, we'll accept a motion.
Yes, I'd like to make a motion to approve the Tipton Marler, Garner, and Chastain engagement letter.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Dr. Dana. Is there a debate? Is there discussion? Is there objection? Does any member object? If not, show it adopted with Speaker Benz and Mr. Lee abstaining from voting due to conflict. And now if you take us to the Warren Averett engagement.
Okay. Again, Warren Averett is our audit firm that we have selected to provide those services for us. They've done a great job. They're a good-sized firm who has a lot of experience in governmental accounting. I know Krista McAllister personally. She's a partner with them in Pensacola. And there is a little bit of language in here that we're changing or pulling out regarding compensation if we were to hire one of their employees. But other than that, everything in this engagement letter is pretty standard for our profession. And I'd like to take any questions the board may have on this engagement letter.
Are there questions? Comments? Yes, Dr. Dana.
I need to abstain as they represent me for my class.
So noted. Mr. Riggs, could you just note for the record which paragraphs on what page you're going to strike?
Yes. Mr. Remington, the two paragraphs we're going to strike is, I think, on page 5 of 7, the employment paragraph.
Correct.
And there's one more, correct?
The dispute resolution.
The dispute resolution on the same page. That's the last paragraph.
Are there any questions about the sections to be struck? Or the reasons why. If not, a motion is in order.
I would like to make a motion to accept the engagement letter for Warren Averett to perform our auditing services.
Is there a second? Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you.
Second by Speaker Benz, and I assume that your motion would include as you described with the two sections being struck.
Absolutely.
Is there debate? Is there discussion? Is there objection? Does any member object? Show it adopted. Ms. Skelton.
Good morning. Back to the regularly scheduled program.
That's right.
Okay. First, I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome our newest staff member. Mr. Randy Lewis is our construction management consultant, and he's seated right here at the table next to Jennifer. And he is actually going to be going on his first site visit this afternoon to the Port of Panama City. He has an extensive vita that you find in your packet related to his architectural and construction experience and his area of expertise in his latest iteration. He's not at the drafting table anymore. He's now actually working as a consultant to legal representation throughout Florida, Louisiana, and Texas. And we'd like to welcome Mr. Lewis to our team.
Thank you. Mr. Lewis, if you'd get to the microphone, simply so that our audience of millions joining us via the Florida Channel can have a chance to hear your dulcet tones. When you go to the Port of Panama City today, we've all read, of course, the nature of your engagement with us and the duties that you perform, but can you give us a sense as to what you and Ms. Henderson are going to be doing today, what you're going to be looking for?
It'll be my first site visit to that project. I have reviewed the pay requests over the last couple of months that are pending now, the scope of the contract and their scope of work, and I'll be reviewing the construction progress, taking a lot of photographs and correlating or comparing the progress they are saying in their pay request to the observations in the field to make sure those correlate and they're not being paid way ahead of their schedule or anything like that, which there are other checks and balances as well. So in this first visit and the first project with Triumph, I'm familiar with the contractor. We've worked with them in the past, and I don't anticipate any issues. I've gone through their pay requests, schedule of values, and the work they say they have completed and requesting payment for, so I'll be doing a check of that primarily.
Are there questions for Mr. Lewis as to the kind of work that he'll be doing for us today and on a going forward basis? Speaker.
The only question I have is I'm in the general contracting business, and I want to make sure there's no conflict. Are you doing any consulting or whatever on any of my work?
No, sir.
Okay, good deal.
Any other comments or questions? If not, my assumption is that you will report back to us in writing as to your findings today so that we can keep the board appraised in real time of how that project is proceeding. It's our first infrastructure project, so we want to carve some notches in the ground that will help us with the other projects that we have following along behind it.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, ma'am.
At Mr. Riggs' suggestion, we're using an electronic reporting system, and so Mr. Lewis's work will be integrated in with the work that our accounting firm is doing, and all the work will be consolidated into one report. So we'll have that available electronically anytime that someone needs to see it.
Clever people at Carr Riggs Ingram, I tell you. Very good.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ms. Skelton, can you, speaking of auditors, can you give us an update on the perpetual audit of the Auditor General?
Yes, sir. The audit is moving forward. We have reached the management level of review, and the next step will be for it to go up to the Office of General Counsel and then to the Auditor General in person. So we are moving forward. I asked as late as Friday for a timeline. They said we're making progress, so we still don't have a final, date of when we're going to be at closure, but we are moving forward in the progress, in the process.
I'd like to ask our Tipton Marler auditors and accountants, as you have interfaced with the Auditor General, and obviously you never know till it's over how over it is, but do you observe any material issues that we may have, any work that they're signaling to you that we can do differently or better?
At this stage of the process, Mr. Chairman, they have not indicated anything specifically that they're having a problem with, and certainly not anything that seems to be of a material problem. I think the last inquiry we had, they wanted to know how often we change the signatories on the bank account. So it's a pretty in-depth audit that they're doing. They had indicated to us early on that they were doing a lot more than they would on an annual basis simply because we were a new organization and we were putting a lot of new processes into place.
Okay. Any questions or comments on that matter? If not, Ms. Skelton, can you take us into our conversation about the Hurricane Michael Recovery Fund?
Mr. Chairman, as you'll recall, at the special meeting on February the 8th, the board discussed a process whereby the board would set aside $15 million for Hurricane Michael disaster recovery for the four counties most affected by the storm. That would be Bay, Franklin, Gulf, and Wakulla counties. And, Mr. Chair, you had asked Mr. Lee to lead up the development of the process, and I would defer to him at this time for comment, and then I'll take it back at the point that he's ready for me to.
Mr. Lee, thank you for your work on this.
Certainly. Thank you, Ms. Gelson. Thank you, Chairman. From a standpoint of the process, we have worked very diligently with our staff and our attorney on drafting this application, and I think we've got something good in place for us to be able to help four counties that were affected by Hurricane Michael. And from a standpoint of the $15 million, a way to get that out in a very quickly to those counties that are in need. So I'm all, at this time, I'd like to ask Ms. Skelton to go through our proposal.
Thank you, Ms. Skelton.
Yes, sir. At a risk of bearing the lead, if you'll look in your packet directly behind the document that says Hurricane Michael Disaster Recovery Fund, there's an announcement that says important. The announcement is to go on the regular application. It will be attached to all applications going forward, and for counties, for applications that originate in Bay, Franklin, Gulf, or Wakulla counties, those projects will now need to get the approval of the Board of County Commissioners in those projects as Hurricane Michael recovery projects. So that's something different that's new that will be posted on the regular application going forward. And if there are any changes to wording or anything that any members would like for us to make, we can do that at this time. But we anticipate posting that as soon as today after this meeting. And now going forward on the Hurricane Recovery Fund, the $15 million, as I said, was set aside at the last meeting. In the conversation at the meeting, everyone indicated that they wanted to get money out as quickly as possible to the places, the counties and cities and school boards that needed the funds as quickly as we could. And the cleanest way that we found to do that in conjunction with the statute that Triumph has to operate under was to use the criteria of ad valorem relief. And so what is being proposed by staff today is that the Board of County Commissioners in each of the four declared counties would submit an application. So there would be a total of four applications submitted under this process. And under those county commission proposals would be the requests for each of the incorporated cities in the county and also the school board. As you know, the school board is an RLE protected, so their rate of ad valorem loss will be a little higher than even probably the counties. But we wanted one application per county that encompassed the cities and the school board and the county losses. And what we're asking them for is their certified 2017 roll, their certified 2018, and their estimated 2019. Because the 2019 is not due to the Department of Revenue until July the 1st, and we did not want to hold up the process by waiting for a true number, the certified number. So we're asking for them to submit those loss numbers to us. And this is not the property value loss. This is the ad valorem tax loss. And once those numbers are determined, then Triumph could entertain up to a payment of up to 50% of the loss of each of those entities within the counties. And this was not an arbitrary number. This was to try to find a way to spread the funding as far as we could with the $15 million and as quickly as we could. And, you know, assuming that there's money left over, obviously there could be another pass or there could be other priorities that could be considered for the funds as well. What we would ask would be that we would ask the board to recognize that this is not a part of the regular Triumph application process, that these are separate applications strictly for ad valorem tax relief, and that this process will be extremely expedited. You see, some of our proposals have taken months to come to fruition. We're asking that the board approve waiving the pre-application requirement and the term sheet negotiation requirement. There would be a contract, basically, that would be offered to the county, and it would be, you know, if all things were to go smoothly and the applications came in from the counties timely, we anticipate that we could have something back out as early as late April. We would have to have the application deadline set. We've checked with the county administrators in Bay, Franklin, and Gulf counties and gotten feedback that they did not anticipate any roadblocks to a shortened deadline period, so that, you know, we could give the counties 2 or 3 weeks. The application itself looks long, but it shouldn't take more than about 30 minutes to fill out once you know what your numbers are. It's sort of a plug-and-play kind of a thing. So it shouldn't be that difficult to fill out. And one of the things we had contemplated was incorporating a mandatory workshop for the local entities to attend a FEMA reimbursement workshop that would be put on by DEM. We're in the process of having that conversation with DEM. The person I needed to speak to wasn't in the office last week, so I don't have a time frame for that, and I don't know if the board wanted to include that as part of the application process. But we could, if the board were to approve this process, have the process in the field as early as tomorrow and have an application deadline set within 2 or 3 weeks and be able to begin our review process. We still have to do the scoring as required by statute and then go through the grant award process and, as I said, have a very quick turnaround on these funds. These funds are not meant to solve the problems of the world. These funds are an emergency relief opportunity to get cash advance ad valorem money into the hands of the local entities that need the money now to begin doing projects that are reimbursable by FEMA at a later date, but they have to have cash advance on these funds. In addition, we expect the legislature to have a hurricane package. That package hasn't been unveiled yet, but we're hopeful that that package could possibly include some type of a loan program that the board had envisioned, but at a much higher level and using state rainy day funds for that loan program to assist these small localities in getting these infrastructure projects moving as well. And so that would be my report, Mr. Chairman, and the request from staff to consider the process and consider the application and give us instruction as to whether or not we need to do the workshop.
Questions? Comments? Mr. Shove, can you hear us?
Yes, I had one comment, question.
Yes, sir.
Susan, will these funds given out to the different counties go against their allocation?
No, sir. Mr. Shove, this is a separate set aside of money that the board chose to put forth at the last meeting. This will not go against the allocated percentage for the county's projects. So other economic development projects can still go ahead.
Further questions? Can you help us, Susan? I appreciate the fact that this is expedited. We don't want to make people go through 67, you know, layers of bureaucracy. You know, we got an emergency here, and people need help. So could you, from the standpoint of the county, could you walk us through what the county will have to do in order to get a proposal or to get an application in front of us? And then I'd like to ask counsel and Dr. Harper to comment on how we have appropriately linked this to the statutory underpinnings of Triumph Gulf Coast so that we fulfill the law.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, what we anticipate will be that the counties will reach out to each of their local entities, and there aren't that many of them. There's several in Bay County, but for example, in Gulf County, it would be the Gulf County itself, the Gulf County School Board, Wewahitchka, and Port St. Joe. For Franklin County, it's Franklin County itself, the school board, Apalachicola, and Carabel. And on, you know, onward. There aren't that many entities that will be encompassed in these applications. And if you, you know the property appraiser makes the assessments, and then the tax collector sets the rate based on, you know, the county intake. So we don't think that identifying the numbers will be that difficult, because these are things that they already have to do. They already divide the ad valorem taxes out by entity. So the number should not be that difficult. What we're asking for is for the county to provide for the itself and each of the entities its 2017 and 2018 certified records and an estimate on the 2019 ad valorem tax loss by entity. And then if for some reason the estimate is high and the county ends up having an adjustment, then the envisioned clawback in the grant award would be the difference between the amount paid and the actual amount collected, if that were to our advantage as opposed to the county's advantage. So that would be the clawback provision that's required by statute. And the performance metric would simply be the delivery of the product into the field, the cash into the field.
Mr. Speaker, I'm sorry, did you?
I'm happy. Happy as a clam.
Counsel, could you comment on how this links back to our statute? And Dr. Harper, any comments you might want to make as well?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, at our last meeting, the board voted to establish as a priority for recovery and diversification an enhancement of the county's specifically grants that would aid in recovery from Hurricane Michael based on the damage that was created and wrought by the storm. The board had the authority to establish that priority under Florida Statute Section 288.8014, and once established as a priority, the board has the authority under Statute Section 288.8017 to make an award for that purpose. And so part of revising this application was to ensure that those new priorities were listed in the application for the applicants to check.
And Dr. Harper, I assume that you will have your usual role in grading and rating these applications. Can you comment on that, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. We do have sufficient data coming in over time. Every year, every July 1st, property appraisers have to submit their official property tax rolls to the state.
Those data are available. We can look at the data history to see the rate at which their property tax collections were growing, and then we can drill down into the data set as soon as the final estimates are received, and there will, of course, be preliminary estimates that come in before the final ones that we will work from. So we can go back and verify that, in fact, the money has been put to its appropriate use. And once the initial estimates are in from each county as to the damages, we can go about the task of apportioning fairly from our fund that the board has approved to each of the four counties that have damage to their parcels.
And there is not an implied guarantee here, is there, that Triumph is going to be able to meet 50% of that delta? Rather, what you're asking us to approve is a ceiling. So that in each county we would not exceed 50%. But I haven't seen any of the property appraisers' initial estimates. But just, you know, by my rough reckoning, we're not going to get anywhere near 50%. So I just want to make sure there's not an expectation or an implied guarantee that we're going to hit 50%, because I don't see that we could.
No, sir. It clearly states up to 50%. And, you know, as the applications come forward, we'll be asking for direction from the board to the amounts based on the up to 50%. But, you know, until we see those numbers, we won't have any way of verifying how that division would have to take place.
The point is to make sure that in making these awards, that we don't overspend in one particular county and leave somebody else completely shorted. Is that correct?
Correct. So it will be a ceiling, a cap of up to 50% of the ad valorem tax, estimated ad valorem tax loss for 2019.
And Dr. Dana advised us when we were considering this matter about the work that that she and Governor Bush and the legislature did when Hurricane Andrew came through South Florida, and Ms. Skelton did some research on that and found that Dr. Dana's memory was exactly correct, of course, that there was a provision of law that provided for a state-guaranteed loan fund that was used, and it was used to great effect. And we've shared that information with the members of our Northwest Florida delegation and with the legislative leaders so that they will understand what happened when South Florida had a severe hurricane loss and how the state responded, in hopes that Northwest Florida would receive appropriate and equitable treatment.
Yes, sir. In the 04 A special session of the legislature immediately following the series of storms that was Charlie through Irma, and I think we went through the whole alphabet and had to add some letters that year, but we found that there was an entire package of legislation filed post-hurricane, and one of the most interesting pieces of legislation to me was the one that created the cash flow loan program for the district school boards to borrow money against to rebuild school buildings. So there is precedent for the types of activities that we've been talking about. And that whole package of legislation was instrumental in getting the state back on its feet after that series of storms, and is instructive to anyone who would want to look towards proposed legislation.
I would guess, Speaker Benz, that your DNA would have been all over that legislation. Do you think that's an approach that the legislature might take this time around?
I hope so. And just for further comment, at the 20,000-foot level, you know, I think we have another $80 million sitting in the Treasury right now. Susan, is that correct, from BP?
It should arrive in mid-April.
Okay, but we will receive another $80 million this year from BP.
Yes, sir, there's another tranche coming.
And, Mr. President, as you clearly know, that's fair game. While we have statutory provisions that say it goes to Triumph, that's a big pot of money. And I do think that this effort to assist with the Hurricane Michael efforts should build some goodwill. And perhaps, I'm not saying we don't need to worry about it, but perhaps the chances of us losing some of that funding might be somewhat diminished. But we have a fine line, too, that we discussed at the last meeting. I also don't want for the rest of Florida to think, well, Triumph's going to take care of Michael, because that's not our mission. So I think we've struck a pretty fair balance in assisting the counties that have had a rough time with Hurricane Michael, and yet still have kept the spirit of helping Northwest Florida alive in the legislature. So that's my only comment.
Any other comments? Yes, sir, Mr. Riggs.
So if I could clarify one thing. So is the process the four counties are going to come to us with this information, we're going to digest it, and then vote on what to fund?
The envisioning process would be that they would turn in an application within probably the next 3 weeks, and then staff would do review of that application and make a recommendation back to the board at its next available meeting. to take up the funding. We have to build in some time here because we have a two-week notice requirement that we have to post on the website, and we also have to have time for staff to do their work. So we're looking at an estimated timeline of mid to late April that staff would bring back recommendations for grant awards for the board's consideration.
Okay, but we'll be able to see that information before we vote on it.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir, Mr. Lee.
Chairman, Ms. Skelton had outlined the point that we needed to discuss about requiring the counties to have a representative at the Emergency Management FEMA reimbursement workshop. I do think this is important, and that, you know, I just feel that one person from each county is sufficient, but I don't want this to hold up the process of us getting this out. So as long as someone has attended that workshop prior to us cutting a check, I think it's sufficient. But I think that's something we need to visit here today on.
And Ms. Skelton, could you please explain to the board why that's why you mentioned that, why you believe that's critical, if you do?
Yes, sir. In conversation that we've had with Director Moskowitz's office at the Division of Emergency Management, they have indicated extreme concern about particularly our smaller cities and counties and the difficulty of the FEMA reimbursement process and the lack of staff and perhaps lack of expertise in completing the FEMA process successfully. And what we have envisioned here is an outreach opportunity to allow these local governments to share their concerns with DEM about the FEMA reimbursement process, and also to let DEM help them maximize their response capabilities and assist them in finding a way to go forward with the application process, with the FEMA reimbursement application process. And one of the things that they had indicated was that they had an extremely high failure rate on the individual assistance program simply based on failure to fill out the paperwork. These are counties that are under extreme stress. Their staffs are working double and triple time. They're doing jobs that they never thought they would be doing, and they're trying to hold together on their personal life side as well. So our goal here would be to help them find people that can help them through the process. And this was highly recommended by the Division of Emergency Management as something that could be helpful to the small governments that we're dealing with.
Is that satisfactory, Mr. Lee?
Yes.
Further comments? So I gather, Ms. Skelton, that you want delegated authority to set a deadline, for staff to set a deadline that is easy for counties to meet, that you and the other members of our team are going to work closely with those counties to make sure that they don't get stymied anywhere along the line in the very simplified paperwork that you've provided that we have to have for the Auditor General purposes and other purposes, 30 minutes to fill this thing out, and then in an expedited way get it back to us as soon as we can meet all the notice requirements that local governments may have and that we have. Is that correct?
Yes, sir, and we don't anticipate that period to be too long. I would say 3 weeks probably would be the application period. That would allow the counties to gather the information they need from the school board and the local entities within their counties as well as their own calculations and give us their best estimate for their 2019 ad valorem tax loss.
All right. Well, I have one other question, and that is the sentence that you handed out on the paper that said important. And
yes,
according to numbers provided by Tipton Marlow this morning, we have committed $25,650,000 so far to projects in Bay, Franklin, Gulf, and McCulloch counties.
Yes, sir.
And that means that that even if the only projects that we funded in those counties were the $15 million per county that we are obliged to find and fund in those counties. What that means by my reckoning is that we have another $34 million in funds in those counties that that we will be providing to economic development diversification projects in those counties.
Yes, sir, through our normal application process.
And my concern is that, as we discussed at our special meeting, that we ask the counties that are coming forward with these projects to affirm to us in clear and unmistakable terms that any projects that they bring forward from Bay, Wakulla, or Gulf, or Bay counties, well, any of the four counties, from Franklin, Bay, Gulf, or Wakulla, are projects that in the post-hurricane economic recovery period are critical projects that are part of post-hurricane economic recovery. So what I'd like to suggest for the board's consideration is that we ask each county to append to each project that comes forward, not the ones we've talked about up to this point, not the ones for the $15 million fund that we've already discussed, but any of the other projects that come from those counties until we decide differently, which might be a year from now or maybe never, that those projects are affirmed by the county as being approved components of that county's post-hurricane economic recovery. That way, we're talking about $49 million in post-hurricane economic recovery. Because, as we've discussed before, when we can help fund a project that provides jobs, that helps a community recover. The other thing that I've found is that amnesia is a terrible thing. And people tend to forget that we asked that when these projects come forward from those counties that there be an affirmation that this isn't just a project, but that we take cognizance of the fact that there's been a hurricane, and that any project that comes forward from those counties be viewed by the county as integral to their post-hurricane economic recovery. So I'd like to ask the board's consideration of requiring each applicant to provide to us a statement from their county government that this project, whatever it might be, is an approved component of that county's post-hurricane economic recovery. I'd be happy to have my words improved upon, or if you don't like them, strike them. Any thoughts? Any objection? All right, then let that be included in the motion that we're about to consider. You've heard Ms. Skelton's and counsel's and Dr. Harper's description of how we will proceed. Without objection, you've agreed to the language that I've described that would be appended to all other projects. A motion would be in order to authorize staff to proceed to implement the fund that we have approved in the fashion as described by Ms. Skelton. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Riggs, seconded by Dr. Dana. Is there discussion?
One item,
yes, sir,
Mr. Chairman, and that is we have committed $26 million to those four counties.
Yes, sir.
That leaves another $36 million as a minimum to each of those four counties.
$15 million per
county. I believe 36. But to sort of reiterate Mr. Schoaf's point, that doesn't count. Whatever we do with this $15 million doesn't count toward that $60 million total.
Correct.
So I just
yes,
want to make sure we all, because I know that's important to him and it's important to me as well. So I want to make sure we had that understood.
Yes, sir. Any other comments or questions or objections? If not, this is a very substantive issue, so I would ask Ms. Skelton to call a roll on this motion.
Mr. Bentz?
Yes.
Dr. Dana?
Yes.
Chair Gates?
Yes.
Mr. Lee?
Yes.
Mr. Riggs?
Yes.
Mr. Schoaf?
Yes.
Okay.
Choate adopted. And now let's move to the legal report. And counsel, review of the grant award negotiations for proposal number 69.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Before you is in your package a copy of a proposed grant award agreement between Triumph Gulf Coast and Florida State University for the Apalachicola Bay System Initiative Project. That's project number 69. The board previously approved a term sheet setting out all the material elements of this grant award agreement. The grant award agreement was negotiated, and as it exists before you is in a form consistent with forms previously approved by the board for grant award agreements. No material changes have been made to the terms of the grant award agreement since the term sheet, nor have any changes been made since a summary of the grant award agreement was published on February 11th, 2019, pursuant to the requirement of Florida Statutes 288.8016. The amount of the grant award agreement is $7,998,678. There are performance metrics contained within the grant award agreement that were previously contained within the term sheet. In addition, there is a clawback provision contained within the grant award agreement consistent with the clawback provisions negotiated and agreed to in the term sheet. Mr. Chair, if there are any questions, I'm happy to answer those. If there are any specific questions about the performance metrics, I would defer those to Dr. Harper and Dr. Fuller.
Dr. Harper, you have previously described this proposal, and we have discussed it in some detail in prior meetings, but could you give us a summary as to why you believe we ought to move forward with this contract?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. This project is somewhat unusual for the time forward. This is a project that recognizes that top quality scientific research needs to be undertaken to understand what is needed to improve and restore the estuary system for Apalachicola Bay, which is so crucial to the health of the oystering industry, both in the traditional sector of oyster farming as well as in the oyster aquaculture sector.
And so for that reason, the board saw fit to approve a project that embodies a large amount of scientific research as well as community engagement at the front end across the stakeholder community, as well as assistance to the entrepreneurial community, which anticipates participating in various phases of the oyster and other shellfish industry. So in that sense, it is somewhat unusual. However, given that this market sector is so very important to our eastern counties in the Triumph region, it seems appropriate that the Triumph Board recognize the necessity of doing top quality scientific research to restore the sector. And my continued belief, having reviewed the needs of these local economies, is that this is a good and appropriate use of Triumph funds to enhance the recovery diversification of these affected counties.
Are there questions for Mr. Remington or Dr. Harper or the applicant? Yes, sir.
Move it.
Motion by Speaker Benz. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Lee. I can report to the board that I spoke with Commissioner Lockley, the chairman of the Franklin County Board of Commissioners, this morning, and he said that, and these are his quotes, that this project is an approved component of Franklin County's post-hurricane economic recovery, and he went on to say it is the only way forward economically for Franklin County. We do have representatives from Franklin County here today. Would you care to offer any comments on this proposal? Commissioner, we appreciate you being here. And we know that you got a full plate in everything you're doing.
We do, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak to y'all this morning. As the president said there, this is our only way forward. As you know, going through the BP oil spill and kind of getting offline here a little bit, but all the counties, the eight counties here, all want oysters from Apalachicola Bay. They don't want Louisiana oysters. They don't want Texas oysters. And they told me this during the oil spill, as we all met there, Mr. President. We want oysters from Apalachicola Bay. Right now we're in a bad way because of the low river flows and creating the right salinity balance in Apalachicola Bay to produce these oysters for the people. We do support FSU's project to try to look for a different strain of oyster. How do we combat with the predators that are coming in and destroying the oysters? So there's a lot of research that needs to be done. And as we brought this before our county commission last week to reaffirm our support for this project, the issue was brought out, you know, but the bay has been studied to death. Well, it has, but circumstances have changed. The salinity balances in the bay has changed. So we do support this project, and hopefully this will help us to recover to supply all of northwest Florida and the rest of Florida with good, wholesome oysters. Thank you for having the opportunity to speak.
Thank you, Commissioner. Are there any members of the public who wish to speak to the board on this project? You may speak for it, against it, or just provide information that you think the board ought to know. Any members of the public? Any public comment on this proposal? If not, you've heard Speaker Ben's motion. It's been seconded. Is there a debate or discussion by members of the board? If not, call the roll.
Mr. Benz?
Yes.
Dr. Dana?
Yes.
Chair Gates?
Yes.
Mr. Lee?
Yes.
Mr. Riggs?
Yes.
Mr. Schoaf?
Absolutely.
Showed adopted. Mr. Remington, if you would go on to proposal number 98, the Walton County Sheriff proposal.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The next matter before the board is grant award agreement for project number 98, the Walton County Sheriff's Office project. The agreement before you was negotiated in consultation with the Sheriff's Department after approval of a term sheet by the board. There are no material changes between the term sheet and the grant award agreement. The grant award agreement is consistent with all other grant award agreements that have been executed and approved by the board. It provides for performance metrics and clawbacks. In the event that the performance metrics are not satisfied, the amount of the award is $2,217,965,000, and there's a requirement that the Walton County Sheriff's Office obtain matching funds as well. Because the grant award agreement, a summary was published on February 11, 2019, pursuant to Florida Statute Section 288.8016. I'm happy to take any questions regarding the form or terms of the contract or defer with respect to the performance metrics to Dr. Fuller or Dr. Harper.
Dr. Fuller, you led us in a discussion of this project previously. The board's familiar with it. Do you have any summative comments as to why you think we ought to move forward with this project?
First, the sheriff should be committed to taking this initiative. For taking this initiative with a very difficult population for employment. I think this will make a big difference in trying to reach high employment, increase wages by 25% for a elite population, and I think it needs all I got.
Questions for Mr. Remington or Dr. Fuller? Comments? Any member of the public wish to speak on this proposal? For it, against it, or just provide information? Any public comment? Any public comment? If not, a motion is in order.
So move.
Moved by Mr. Lee. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Dr. Dana. Is there further debate or discussion? Comment by any member of the board? Please call the roll.
Mr. Benz?
Yes.
Dr. Dana?
Yes.
Chair Gates?
Yes.
Mr. Lee?
Yes.
Mr. Riggs?
Yes.
Mr. Schoaf?
Yes.
Showed adopted. Mr. Remington, would you give us a status report on proposal 55?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. With respect to proposal number 55, the Eastern Shipbuilding Group proposal, that proposal was resubmitted last week, and it is now the last listed proposal on the Triumph website. It was resubmitted in conjunction with the City of Panama City as an infrastructure project. And it is the City of Panama City Industrial Complex, and Eastern Shipbuilding is a co-applicant in that project, as is Bay County. Since we just received the full application, I believe last Wednesday, staff will review that application and recommend action in the very near future.
Let me ask this question. Since this came up initially when Eastern Shipbuilding was the applicant, have you determined that this project meets the statutory requirements?
It appears to on its face from a very, very brief outline of the application. We will need to drill down into some of the details in the application. For instance, how, you know, the city is talking about constructing infrastructure improvements on an easement from Eastern Shipbuilding. So we just need to get down to the details of the easement, how it's obtained, to ensure that there's value, fair value exchange for that.
How soon do you believe we will be able to take up this matter?
I hope we'll be able to take it up at least for a term sheet at our next board meeting.
Are there questions as to where we are with this project? I know the folks from Eastern Shipbuilding are here. I don't know if they have any comment. If so, we'll be happy to take it. All right. Dr. Harper, have the economic inputs or ingredients in this project changed at all as you've had a chance to look at the City of Panama City's application, or are you not ready to comment on that?
Mr. Chairman, I'm not ready to comment on that. We are certainly in discussions with the application team about what the economic contribution of the project will be, and we hope to bring those back shortly.
All right. Are there any other comments or questions on this matter? If not, would you please, Mr. Remington, give us a status report on Proposal 120?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Proposal 120 is the pending term sheet with the City of Pensacola regarding their airport MRO aviation campus project. The term sheet was previously approved by the board. We continue to be in negotiations with the City of Pensacola and VTMAE regarding the final grant award agreement and performance agreement that will be executed by the private sector partner. We received back some initial thoughts from the city's council on Friday on the first draft of the grant award agreement, and we will continue exchanging those comments and hope to have final grant award agreements for the board to review at its next meeting.
Questions?
Mr. Chairman, I've read in the, and I've supported this project. I love it. But I think it's become a football, it appears. I don't live in Pensacola, but just clearly Ms. Skelton keeps us up to speed. And apparently there may be a movement to have a referendum on the city's passing of the approving the $5 million grant. What's the status of it? Or can you not comment or should not comment?
I can comment. I have been out of touch. I just learned about it this morning.
Okay.
From what I could glean, that the group has filed the paperwork. They'll have 60 days to obtain the signatures. There is some question whether or not the decision to budget that money for this project is one that is subject to the referendum provisions of the city charter. But I'll be looking at that and get something back to the board very soon.
Dr. Dana, you may have some. I mean, that's your world. I mean, stay out of that one.
Mr. Lee.
Chairman, on our agenda it states that it's a $56 million ask from Triumph. Is that number still correct? I thought we had increased that.
Last time I looked, it was 66.
Yes, sir. Sir, I just wanted to clarify that for the record.
Clerical error, sorry.
And I don't mean to steal Speaker Van's thunder here, but let me just put it in my words. It's fine to have all kinds of conversations with the city and with VTMA, but for my money, we have, you know, we don't want to see future conversations or negotiations or dollar amounts or codicils or terms or changes we out. We about done what we can do, at least from my money. Anything else on this matter? If not, Ms. Henderson.
Good morning. In the program administrator report, you'll note that staff does continue to meet with new applicants. We are actually doing that in a very collaborative regional process currently. We're working with our EDOs, the utilities, and Enterprise Florida on a number of confidential projects, one of which we're hopeful that we'll be bringing to you at the next meeting. The next meeting is going to be jam-packed. The regional planning councils are also collaborating with our communities who were impacted by Hurricane Michael, and they are doing that in partnership with EDA, with federal EDA, to find if there are specific federal grants that can be won by these communities post-Hurricane Michael, and anticipate there may be some that they may want to discuss a partnership with us on. We are also working on some updates to our website. We'll be rolling them out after this meeting. We wanted to get the Hurricane Michael information on there as well. There's been a lot of, now that we've got projects moving forward, a lot of interest in seeing information on our website in a little different way, and so we'll incorporate that as we add the Hurricane Michael information as well. So on to the numbers. As of Friday the 15th of February, we had received 183 pre-applications totaling just over $1,471,000,000 worth of requests. We did meet as a staff committee and reviewed pre-applications that we had received. There's one that we didn't deem to be eligible, but I will highlight that we did receive a pre-application from the City of Panama City for their industrial complex and did deem that based on the pre-application as eligible. And that application has since come in. That application is included in this following number as we have received 59 applications totaling over $526 million in requests, and we did receive, in addition to the Panama City Industrial Complex, which actually is not in that number, that came in after we wrote this up, we did receive a request from the Panacea Oyster Co-op, an application that was in partnership with FAMU. So that is on our website.
Any questions? Do we have, typically as part of your report, you indicate whether or not we have sent letters to folks indicating that sadly they're not qualified for this fund, but they may be qualified for other sources of support. Any more letters like that?
We did not. We've been focused on the Hurricane Michael program, but I do anticipate by our next meeting that we will have sent more of those letters.
All right. Further questions, comments? Dr. Harper, any comments from your side of the street? I know you've been working on these projects that we've now taken action on today, but anything else from you?
Nothing to add to Ms. Henderson's report. Staff have been working collaboratively with project applicants to get them through the process with the best proposal that we can possibly put forward on that basis. And I have nothing further to add to Ms. Henderson.
Any questions for Dr. Harper? Dr. Fuller, staff has indicated to me that that they've approached you and that you're willing to provide the kind of compliance review on education projects that Mr. Lewis is providing on infrastructure projects. Ms. Skelton, I would assume that that you would adjust our relationship with Dr. Fuller to accommodate that, unless there's any view on the part of the board that you want to handle that in a different way.
No, sir, that would be fine as long as I have the authority to do that through the board, then we can do that.
Any questions, objections? All right. Any public comment? But any members of the public who? Yes, ma'am.
You need a motion to adopt the program administrator's
report.
I'm
sorry. A motion to adopt Ms. Henderson's report is in order.
So
motion by Dr. Dana. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Riggs. Is there a debate, discussion, objection? Show it adopted. Is there any member of the public who wished to comment before the board today? Yes, sir. Come forward. And if you'd identify yourself for the record, we'd be grateful.
Gary Ostrander, Vice President for Research, Florida State University. Thank you for approving our proposal. I want to publicly tell you that your staff was excellent to work with, and our proposal benefited from going through this process. As recently as this morning, Dr. Fuller gave me some good perspective for how we should go forward on one of our projects. So thank you very much for this transparent and very helpful process.
Thank you very much, Doctor, and please give President Thrasher the best wishes of all of us. Any other members of the public wish to comment before the board? Any public comment on any matter that pertains to Triumph Gulf Coast? If not, please be available to Ms. Skelton as she tries to work out dates and times and places for our next meeting. Our next meeting will be further to the west, very likely in Santa Rosa or Okaloosa counties. But we also will be negotiating with dates. We know that that March is a particularly difficult month for some folks here who have a lot of commitments in March, and we also know that we have a sort of a trajectory now of proposals, especially including support for counties that have been affected by Hurricane Michael. So be ready for negotiating those dates. And any member of the board have anything else for the meeting?
Great job.
Anything else for the good of the order? If not, Mr. Lee moves to rise.